Loving and gracious God, inhabit my words that they may speak your truth and yours alone. Inhabit our minds and our hearts that we may know you in a new way. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. A number of years ago, a woman came up to the lectern to read from the Song of Songs, as was done this morning so beautifully. She read the passage and she stumbled over some of the very intimate language. She blushed quite a bit, actually, and carried on. She finished the reading and she sat down. When she got up at the end of the service, she went to greet the priest, as we do. And she said to him, "Please take me off the reader's list." See, that didn't get a laugh at 8 o'clock. It wasn't meant to be funny, but it actually kind of is. Well, later on, that same priest of the parish sat her down and asked her why she had requested to be taken off the list. And she explained that she was embarrassed by having to have read such intimate language from the Bible. She had not read the passage prior to that Sunday and found herself very self-conscious. Now, that on the one hand is an argument for all of us who are on the reader's list for Sundays to read the passage prior to Sunday. Not only because of the topic, but because of those long biblical names which all of us trip over from time to time. It also raises another interesting question. Why was she embarrassed by the intimate language? Was she uncomfortable that the language dealt with what sounds like very human intimacy? Did it seem to her unlike the God that she knew to lower God's self to our very human way of interacting and loving with one another? After a while, you'll be glad to know that she agreed to go back on the reader's list, but only if she didn't have to read any more passages from that book. It's interesting, isn't it? We have heard it said 1,000 times. God is love. God loves you. Jesus loves you. We've heard the famous passage from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Y'all can finish it, right? Or 1 John, which says, "We love because he first loved us." The God in Jesus, who we see in the Gospel of John, for example, is profoundly about love. In fact, love is mentioned something like 57 or 58 times in the Gospel of John alone. The word love appears in the New Testament 538 times, if you read the NRSV. If you read the NIV, it appears 551 times. When the New Testament writers are writing their letters, they often begin and end their letters to their beloved friends. It's pretty clear that Scripture, the Word of God, has no intention of letting us off the hook for our discomfort. There is a clear message being sent. God is love. God loves you and God loves me. And on this point, it seems to me that God has no intention of being ignored. So why the discomfort? Are we a bit like the disciples who scoff at the woman in Luke 7 for weeping and wiping and kissing Jesus' feet? Or do we simply wonder what it is that creates that kind of devotion? Are we struck by it because we do not understand it? Or do we dismiss it altogether? For St. Augustine, the patron saint of this place, love was the sovereign principle of interpreting all of Scripture. I would agree with him on this, as well as that love is, in his words, the end commandment, and therefore the ultimate end of all of Scripture. In his first book on Christian doctrine, Augustine links the two great commandments, we all know them, love God and love your neighbor, with Paul's idea in Romans that Christ is the end of the law and the fulfillment of the law. And so the fullness of the law is about the love of God, which is to be enjoyed by our neighbor and who shares that love with us as we do with them. So we have scripture reminding us of God's love, Augustine and a host of others, by the way, who tell us that we are beloved, and yet we remain uncomfortable. Or perhaps we are not quite sure how to grasp the idea of an unfathomable God who might want nothing more than to adore us and for us to adore him. Or like many, you may feel unworthy of this incredible love, undeserving, perhaps, of this intimacy. Perhaps you see yourself as the Pharisees in today's gospel. You have tried to do all the right things, carry the right practices, attend the appropriate groups, read the right materials, and yet still something is missing. Perhaps you have been damaged or hurt by others and are reticent to allow yourself to be open to the promise of your beloved, the one who beckons you in the words of the Song of Songs this morning. Thank you for reading it so beautifully. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. How could I be considered God's fair one with all the things that I have said and done? How could I possibly rid myself of all the sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, as James puts it in regard to the Pharisees? Wherever you are in the scheme of those things, however you see yourself, your actions, or actions done to you, the voice of your beloved beckons. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And how do we do that? How do we arise and come away? How do we, as James suggests today, look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere? How do we look into the eyes of Christ and truly love this lover of our souls in return? How do we respond to the one who condescends to become human because he so desperately wants our hearts? How do we reply to this request of reciprocity, to the one who gives his life a ransom for you and I? Even more simply, how do we just do the simple things that James is asking us to do today, being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, and might I add a few others, quicker to believe the good of someone, slower to take part in gossip, more eager to help those in need? Where does all of that good behavior come from? Well, there's good news. Jesus is very clear. It comes from our heart. What you love will show in your actions, in your reactions, in your fears. It will show in the way you spend your time. It will show in how much money you spend and what you spend it on. It will show in the way you spend your time thinking and what you are thinking about. In his book, You Are What You Love, James K.A. Smith speaks about what we do on a regular basis, what we do repeatedly, and he claims this, I think rightly, that what we do over and over forms us. He says, the orientation of the heart happens from the bottom up, through the formation of our habits of desire. Learning to love God takes practice. And he goes on to say, Jesus' command to follow him is a command to align our loves and our longings with his, to want what God wants, to desire what God desires, to hunger and thirst after God and crave a world where he is all in all, a vision encapsulated by the shorthand, the kingdom of God. That sounds a bit like marriage, doesn't it? How do we become more aware of being a beloved of God, the object of this God who desperately loves us? Well, I'm going to suggest a couple of things. They are going to come as huge surprises, so get ready. Read Scripture. Practice the daily offices of morning and evening prayer, Compline. Quite simply, if the Bible is the inspired word of God, and if God is love, then we will meet love there. Our prayer book is almost entirely scripture, Look through it sometime. It is astonishing how much of it is taken directly from God's word. And the practice of sitting down with the God who is love cannot help but bring us into the presence of our beloved. We have three resources as Anglicans that are brilliant in terms of tying us into this one who loves us more than anyone else in the universe. We have the Book of Common Prayer, the Book of Alternative Services, and of course, Scripture. And all of them are sitting in your pews. Isn't that convenient? I'm pretty sure that James would let you borrow one of those. I can tell you where to order them. So we have almost everything we need. The only thing left to consider is our frame of mind, or perhaps our attitude, if you will. Love, you see, cannot be forced upon us. And we also cannot forcefully love one another. It betrays the very nature of love for it to be forced at all. But love, of course, is not just warm, fuzzy feelings. It is an act of the will. We choose. I often preach at weddings. Every morning, from this day forward, I beg you, choose to love each other. I have to apologize for the next quote to my brother Jason. It is not a Dominican quote, but here we go. Pedro Arrupe, who is a Spanish Jesuit priest, was stationed outside of Hiroshima in 1945, and he used his medical background to be a first responder after the atomic bombing. He was, as James asks us to be today, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, a doer of the word. He was also famous for saying that it all came from the fountain of love he felt from God and that he returned in kind. He said this, "Nothing is more practical than finding God, that is, than falling in love in a quite absolute, final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love. Stay in love. And it will decide everything." Pick up the love letter that is Scripture. Use the prayer books to lead you through morning and midday and evening and compline prayer times. Seek out the one who is love and fall in love. Because as Jesus reminds us today, it is from within the human heart that all of our intentions come. These intentions will either defile us or they will build us up and build others up. Or in the words of James K.A. Smith and Augustine, you are what you love. My prayer for all of us today is that we would choose to fall in love, to stay in love, that we would choose to fall in love with the source of life and our love, the source of all joy, the source of all of our hope, and indeed love itself. May we, each of us, fall so deeply in love that everything we do would become an outpouring of that source, that the world would come to know his love through each and every one of us.